Welcome back to In the Moment. South Dakota Public Broadcasting helps you prepare for the upcoming film, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. The film debuts on SDPB-TV and PBS nationwide on September 17th. SDPB is hosting special screenings and conversations throughout the summer across the state. Many conversations will be right here on In the Moment. Saturday, South Dakota Public Broadcasting was in Custer. Tonight, you can join us in Sioux Falls at the VFW Post 628. We're asking the question, what is the legacy of the Vietnam War in South Dakota? How did it change your life? How did it change the lives of those around you? This weekend, SDPB's China Lockett and Dave Foote sat down with Vietnam veterans at the Crazy Horse Memorial Monument, willing to share just a piece of their stories. We'd like to bring a few of those conversations to you now. First, here's Vietnam veteran Clark Mola.
My experience in the war was all aviation. I flew helicopters, I was a helicopter pilot. And went through flight school. And from there, we formed up an assault helicopter company in Fort Riley, Kansas, 17th Assault Helicopter Company. We did that in 1967. My class, graduating class 67-5 out of Fort Rucker, Alabama. From there to Fort Riley, formed up the aviation company. And from there, we deployed to Vietnam, and 12 months in Vietnam was first tour. That was pretty much all of 68. December 67 till December 68, and then a second tour all of 72. I was a Huey driver. I flew H model Hueys, first tour. And we were lifting troops in the landing, into LZs, landing zones, and we were picking troops out of the battlefield. When we weren't doing that, we were flying individual sorties, just missions on our own, where we're single aircraft missions, resupplying combat troops out in the field, doing some resupply work in fire support bases, just about everything you can imagine that you do with a utility helicopter in the way of carrying infantry, soldiers in the battle, inserting them into landing zones, and then also doing everything you'd do to resupply troops in the field. Everything that a combat soldier needs when they're in combat or in contact with the enemy, everything that they need to survive, that's what we provided them with. And when they were in trouble, we'd get them out of, we'd pull them out of situations where they needed to be extracted. That's what we did almost 100% of the time. Well, we always thought of it as hours of boredom and moments of stark terror. Or maybe it's the other way around. Hours of stark terror and moments of boredom. A lot of times it was that. But it was a dangerous mission. One that had to be fulfilled. The troops and the infantry relied on the helicopters to move them around from place to place and for resupplying. So at times it was very hairy and dangerous. It took a lot of hits in the aircraft. And at other times it was rather boring, but most of the time it was very eventful. Yeah, so we was a lot of action, a lot of excitement, a lot of drama. Before I went into the service, I really didn't have any direction. I wasn't very responsible. I wasn't disciplined. I was just having a good time. I didn't have any direction and that sort of thing. So the military just made a much better person out of me. I think it was my salvation. I just loved the military. I loved everything about it. I loved the discipline. I loved the camaraderie. And the missions were very eventful, like I said earlier. Always exciting, never a dull moment. And it just made my day. Every day was great. I don't have any complaints about my time in the service. Aviation was just terrific for me. I couldn't have asked for a better occupation while I was in the military. And as I mentioned, it just straightened me out as a person. Let's see, I went in basic training in 1966, so I would have been 23 years old. So I was an old timer. I really was an old timer, but you know, looking back on it, there was a lot of kids in the military that were, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. So I guess I was a little more adult than a lot of my counterparts. Well, I'm not so sure it's changed much in South Dakota. I mean, it's changed me a lot, but as far as South Dakota, you know, as an aggregate, you know, just the people in South Dakota, I really can't say how it's changed the state. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of folks like me that it's made more responsible, you know. I mean, at least I hope that's the way it is. So I hope it's been a good experience. You know, war is never a good experience for most people. In my case, I don't have any regrets, you know. I can cope with it. I can live with it. I understand how it works. And so I have no ill feelings about the war. But as far as how it's affected the state of South Dakota, I really don't know how it's affected the state of South Dakota. All I know is how it affected me personally. And, you know, hopefully the people in the state have a better understanding of the war. I mean, you know, when the troops came back from Vietnam, you know, they were looked upon not very favorably, you know. They were looked down upon. And so I think as a result of that, those experiences, I think the people have regained possibly a new respect for the military. I think the military is probably looked on much more favorably than my generation was. The military was looked on during my generation.
That's Clark Mola talking about his experiences during the Vietnam War. We also talked with Vietnam veteran Jerry Hook. Here's what he had to say.
Well, this month is a very special day. I believe it was 50 years ago today that I set foot in Vietnam, June 9th or 10th, 1967. I guess at that point I was gung-ho, I was ready to go. Young kid, it was an adventure. I had no hard feelings about going. It was just an adventure, I thought. I grew up fast. I was 19 when I was there. When I arrived there, I think I felt like I was 35 when I came home. It was an experience. I was with the 196th Light Infantry. I was in the field for 365 days. I was never in a big city. We were basically in the field all the time. I came home, didn't talk about it. That's what we did, I guess. So until just recently, I probably only ever talked to three or four people about my experience. I don't think they've learned anything. We're still at war. We're in places that we have no business being. We keep trying to bring everybody democracy. They don't want democracy. More people die. I think three again today. So we've learned nothing. My contention is every politician that wants to do it, wants to go to war, should have to send their own kids first. Everyone should serve. Sometime. 2 years, whatever you want to call it, everybody should serve. We don't need any more draft dodger presidents. We've had two of them. We've had another president that hadn't served, and yet they become commander-in-chief. That's not right.
Today we're hearing the stories of Vietnam veterans who sat down with South Dakota Public Broadcasting during a screening of the Vietnam War documentary in Custer this weekend. That's Jerry Hook talking about his experiences in Vietnam. Next, we have thoughts from Vietnam veteran Ted English.
I was in the Army from 66 to 69. I was in there 3 years. I enlisted. And then I went to Vietnam. I volunteered actually for Vietnam. And I was in Army intelligence, and my duty stations were in Saigon for the whole time. And half of it was at SICV, Combined Intelligence Center of Vietnam, and the other six were at MACV, which was ran the whole war, basically. And they were on Tan Son Nhut Air Base in Saigon. So, and then I rotated out and went to Germany. But that was pretty much my experience. Well, you're away from family and all, you know, and friends and things like that, and you're in a foreign country. And, you know, your head's, especially at the beginning, always on a swivel, because you're, you know, you're in a situation there, especially in a war, the zone, you know, part, you know, your head's on a swivel. After that, you get kind of used to it, like anything else. And I got through my 12 months. I didn't want to put in 12 more months or extend any more months, but some people do. They adapt to it and they extend. But for me, it was, I thought at the time, doing a lot, and I'm sure I did my bit, you know, it, like they say, some all gave some gave all for any war. But yeah, and here I am 50 years later. Today, it's just amazing, and it dawned on me. That, and then, again, it always dawns on me, what happened to those 50 years, you know? But it was the 60s. You know, mid-60s, you know, 67, whatever. You know, and the music, that was the soundtrack of everybody back then. You know, especially, it just seemed like soldiers were out of the country. It was something to hold on to, you know, the American music and what have you. And you know, there was some kind of communication with letters. They, I think, had a MAR set up, which I think I used once or twice, which you could patch in or something and call home. And it's almost like a walkie-talkie, it seemed like, looking back 50 years ago. You know, you might know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I did that a couple times. And it gave you a somewhat closeness to home that you didn't get 23 hours away, 12,000 miles away, whatever it is, you know. And getting home, I mean, I didn't go through a lot what people did, a lot of the soldiers did, you know, that spit on kind of thing and yelling at and abuse and what have you. For some reason, I guess just I missed it. But I had heard about it and I really didn't appreciate it. Knowing what we did over there, the good we did over there. And of course, there's always some bad in anything, but mainly the good. I was from Philadelphia. I've lived out here 17 years. You heard all kinds of stories, whether it's spit on the street, spit on the mall, spit on coming through the airport when they were returning or going. I never saw that, and it was never against me, but it happened. There's no doubt, you know, it happened. I think it would have changed me a lot more if I was in a field unit out and went to what they called the boonies. And I, you know, on a daily basis, you know, again, you have your head on a swivel because anybody can be out there, you know. So it changed me not as much as some of those people. And I've talked to those people, friends, and it seems like it was tough coming back the same. Once you experience war, any wars, going back how many years you want to go back and see that, the carnage and what have you, to your fellow soldiers, to the enemy, to innocent civilians, women, children, what have you. It's got to affect you. And I was fortunate not to bring those memories back that a lot of servicemen and women have brought back then through history and now today. They're still coming back from the Middle East with just bad memories. So I was fortunate. I have memories, and a couple weren't all that good during the Tet Offensive of 68, but I can deal with it. Well, I think a lot of people grew up. When you looked at the soldiers that were taken, and I believe the film brings this out, at the very, very beginning, you had the volunteers. Then it turned into some kind of draft, which affected, unless you could dodge it by going to college, and there were a couple other dodges, I think, the guys used. But I think people didn't come back as innocent as when they left. Again, with the draft and all, it exposed more people than just the people that almost wanted to go. Like I said, I enlisted in service, I volunteered for Vietnam, but there were some that didn't. They were stuck in there 2 years and got shipped over there and found a rifle and a rice paddy, all within the course of, which is another issue, 6 months maybe. So, you know, it was quick. It was quick. And they were a little bit different. And the people in South Dakota, I would think, a lot were from the rural area. They probably were different, I would think, than the city people. You do have some cities here and all. But I think they came back pretty much what I just said. You know, they changed. They matured. It doesn't matter if you're, I don't think, from South Dakota. You know, from New York City sometime. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, when you see some of that stuff and the discipline you get, let's say, in the service, that can mature you fast. You're not a kid anymore. And they tell you that. You know, or they don't even have to tell you that. You realize you're not a kid anymore. 17, 18, 19. Yeah, I went in at 19. Someone in earlier, you know, and some of them thought they were mature, but really with life experiences, that's what really matures you. And then as you get older, other things mature, whether it be a family, children, things like that. So there's all stages and degrees of maturization. And I say that's the first one coming out of the service.
That's Vietnam veteran Ted English talking with SDPB's China Lockett and Dave Foote about his experiences during the war. Join South Dakota Public Broadcasting tonight in Sioux Falls at VFW Post 628. It's a special screening and reception with excerpts from the film The Vietnam War. The reception starts at 6 p.m. Central. Screening begins at 7:05. Plus, we want to hear your Vietnam stories. Attend one of the South Dakota Public Broadcasting events this summer. Sit down with us for a conversation about your time during the Vietnam War and the legacy of the war in South Dakota today. You can find more information online, sdpb.org/Vietnam.